Welcome to the Journey Podcast Radio, where we talk about issues related to illness through dying and bereavement. I'm your host, Deanna Cochran, end-of-life doula, guide, and mentor. This show is for those who accompany others through the end-of-life time period. It's our public education series here at Quality of Life Care, and we're doing our part to empower families and practitioners so we can help alleviate some of the anxiety, some of the fear, some of the unknowns, and empower those who want to serve their communities, who are so tenderly and carefully and lovingly taking care of their own family members. So here on the journey, I'll be sharing thoughts of my own, as well as interviewing lay people, experts, people who have no clue about all of this, people who have lots of ideas about all of this, and ways to be helpful. The Journey sponsors are HospiceTimes.com and Quality of Life Care. So let's see what's going on this week. Talk to y'all soon. Blessings.
Welcome to Intention Radio, a content-driven network aimed at uplifting your soul and igniting every cell of your body into inspired action. Join us every day here on IntentionRadio.com. IntentionRadio.com.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, people of the world, welcome to Intention Radio. My name is Emmanuel. I feel very grateful to be connecting with all of you because this is an extremely exciting day. As you know, Intention Radio is dedicated to providing you information to raise your vibration in a multitude of ways. We're here to offer you new perspectives on tools, techniques, strategies, processes that you can utilize to just feel better at home or no matter where you happen to be in the world. And the reason that this is a powerful platform is because of the diversity that we bring onto the station, the variety of perspectives, of wisdom, of minds and hearts coming together to really focus on providing you with leading-edge information is really what we're all about here. And so today we get to offer you a new show, a new perspective, a new mind, a new heart to the station. And this is always so exciting to me as I get to be the one breaking the ice to this new information. So I want you to, first of all, to take out a pad of paper and a pen, preferably your calendar, or you can pull out your smartphones. And I want you to mark down this new show happening every single Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, and that's 8 p.m. for our brothers and sisters on the East Coast. And you're going to be tuning into The Journey with Diana Cochran. And every single week, not only is she going to be providing you with powerful information that we'll dive into in just a moment, but she will also be taking you on a journey. So I feel very blessed to be connecting with you today, Diana. And I wanted to first start with basically your story. So first of all, welcome to the family. Welcome to the station.
Thank you. Very happy.
As are we. So why don't you go ahead and just, before we dive into the show itself, why don't you actually give us perhaps a glimpse of your story? Where is it that you're from? What brought you to doing the work that you're doing today?
Well, I'm from the Northeast. I'm from the Washington, D.C. area. And my dad brought us to Laredo, Texas. We had a pretty big culture shock when I was in junior high. And grew up in Texas, so I'm in Texas now, but I went back to the Northeast after I graduated from college, and I mean from high school, and have family in Florida, so I've been around that section of the world. And when I was I've raised my children and I was married and thinking about wanting to go back into the workforce. I was a stay-at-home mom and I was very busy doing all of that. And I decided I needed to go to nursing school and I was deciding, trying to figure out how to be there for the kids and also be there for our family and finances and all that. So I didn't really have come into nursing school with intention to work with the dying, but while I was there, the second semester of, and I had helped several family members die and been a part of that process. And I just never occurred to me to go into it. It hadn't struck me yet. But when I was in nursing school, there was a rotation, a community rotation, and there were two spots for a hospice
rotation, and there were 40 of us, and I knew I had to have one of those spots, and so did several other people in the class. I don't know how that all worked out. It was only the beginning of second semester, but to me, divine intervention, and I got one of the spots, and I went with an amazing hospice nurse running around, and she was the MacGyver of nurses, and I was sold. I had it. It was in me. I was bitten, and I was that I knew I needed to do to be a hospice nurse from that day forward. And then when my mother
I just want to know, because you say you knew, and I'm always curious to know if it was like a logical thing or if it was purely emotional. There was just a sense, this deep sense of knowingness.
That knowingness happened when they said, okay, they came out with their list, you know, in their hand. I'll never forget it. And the instructors were reading all the spots that were going to be available for community rotation. There was a whole bunch. And when they said hospice, that's when I just had the huge jarring flash from entering my head down to the ground.
Wow.
I mean, it was huge and powerful. And I ran almost immediately like a little kid to the front of the room saying I had to have one of those. And they were like, well, we have to see, and all these people want it, and blah, blah, blah. But other people also, it was really serious. I mean, I was very serious. And there were other people around that vied for me also that I didn't know very well, and I don't know how did they know I needed that, and how. So it was very magical. The whole thing was very powerful.
That's when you know you're on path, right?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what I was getting into. All I knew is I had to. And so when I was running around with that hospice nurse, and she was amazing. She was older. She was been a nurse a long time. She'd been a hospice nurse a long time, and she had the gift. And she was a heart-centered nurse, and she was totally creating in her mind the things that her patients and families needed based on the decline of the person. She was thinking about, okay, I can go to Home Depot and I can get this, and we can create that. And I mean, that is what I that role model right there is how. Is the way I operate. That's exactly how I think. And to see her do that, and I've seen so many other nurses, you know, some do that, some don't do that, but to have her be the one that modeled that for me right out of the gate is beautiful. So it just opened all doors.
So when you got started, I mean, how was that process? I mean, were you kind of overwhelmed by everything that was happening around you, or did you just immediately sort of fit in?
Oh no, it was extremely overwhelming. My eyes were on hospice, but I felt like I had to work in an oncology setting to get to hospice. I thought I had to have that stepping stone. And the thing is oncology, you know, they're preparing the new nurses, of course, to take care of these very, very sick people that come in and out of the hospitals, and wanting you to, you know, learn chemo and learn all these things. And I did not have an interest in learning all the chemo and all that. I wanted to be with the dying. And so I just, every time that we had somebody dying or somebody changed into that status, I wanted to be the one to take care of them. And so I became known like that. And within 3 months, though, I was at our local nonprofit hospice begging them for a job, that I would do anything. I would clean toilets. I would take out the trash. I would just sit there. I would just listen to them, you know, talk. Whatever they felt they needed from me to be able to work there. And so they began training me. And within 6-7 months, I was working full time at our hospice, and after a few months, I began case managing. So
wow! So you were working specifically with the people with the dying people transitioning.
Yes. Yes.
And so. What was your, I mean, I'm sure there were many lessons, especially because this is something that, let's be honest, a lot of people are, you know, fear. A lot of people have many insecurities around. This is something that so many of us avoid in a multitude of ways. And you just went right for it. I mean, you had, you know, this is not very common, let me just say.
It's not. And I'm having a workshop this weekend, actually, for people just like me. So there are others, and so
there are anyway, more out there. Okay,
there really are. And anyway, so yeah, it was. It's not the norm, and so the people that are called to serve, that's I really want to empower you to step into that and go to your local hospice and begin asking how you can help. And there's always volunteers, and if you happen to be a social worker, nurse, chaplain, CNA, then you can work directly with families. But yeah, if you have the calling, you have to pay attention to it. Yeah. It doesn't go away.
You know, what I'm really interested in is actually stepping into your shoes for a moment, because like I said, I mean, this is not the norm, but this is something that we all have to deal with. And yes. So I'm interested to know, what is your perspective on this whole death journey? Because that's what your show's about. It's about the journey, and you're focused, you know, mainly on the transitioning, the ending, the, you know, wrapping it up, closing the deal part of it. And so what's your perspective on life and death based on, you know, just your willingness to jump in, to understand it, to comprehend it, and to be with people that are in that phase of their lives?
Okay, well, that is definitely half of my intention is that exact piece you just described. Is to me, there are two areas in life that there's the most need in the decline and people getting illness and dying in that whole process. The two areas that are the highest need are before hospice. If you're lucky enough to get hospice, before hospice is chosen or suggested, when treatments begin to stop working, until hospice placement, can be some of the most miserable time periods of people's lives. It can be very, 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 a lot of suffering going mm-hmm. on there. And so that part of the world of time I want to address, and that's with non-hospice palliative care. Palliative care, that's and all the modalities and all the things that we can do to provide peace and comfort during that time period, I want to empower people there. And the other time period is around the dying, the person's going to be departing this world in those hours, those days. Approaching that, there's also a lot of need that as much as hospice wants to be there and is there and has been fantastic in every way, it's not a service. We don't consider dying an emergency or a crisis. It's natural. And so it's not part of the hospice benefit or system to have somebody with you during all those hours if you need that kind of support. And many people do, and many people feel abandoned, that their perception was that hospice was going to be there as their loved one was dying, and hospice can't be there in that way. So those two areas of time is where I would love to be part of building bridges and comfort and information and choice and to help people during those two times.
That's very powerful. So I'm curious to know more of your perspective on the whole dying process, because I know uh-huh. that, I mean, you're assisting people, especially with palliative care, you know, and making sure that they're comfortable, making sure that they're doing well, that they're not suffering.
Right.
And at the same time, so when you're engaging with these individuals, because this is something you're doing all the time, I mean, how do you perceive, you know, personally, how do you perceive death? How do you perceive all of, you know, people that are either making that choice or near death and not choosing to do it and resisting it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, excuse me, one of the biggest things I needed to learn early on was that the perfect death is not up to me. And what that looks like is totally not up to me. And that I'm here to empower you to die exactly as you want, to live exactly as you want until you die. You may be dying and not ever wanted to acknowledge that. And you might want to seek treatment into the very last breath. if I happen to meet you and you want me to help you, I'll help you do that. It's not up to me. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not on, there's some people that have, a plan to want to, bring death out of the woodwork and shine the light and make you see and do all these things. And that's great. And I support all of that. My mission and my goal is that if you, what you want, I want to help you do that, whether I believe in it or not. I'm talking about us getting comfortable and dying naturally and peacefully and all that. So for me, I used to get very upset in the early days when I felt that somebody resisting their dying was causing them a lot of trouble and grief for themselves and the family. While all that may be true, it's still theirs and it's their way. And my role is to provide as much peace and comfort in whatever's going on. So, and trying to facilitate understanding and support for the person who's dying, regardless of what anybody else thinks and feels, because that's their journey and their way out, the way they want to exit. So I find my peace with all of this in that I'm your advocate and I'm your the person who's dying first. And then usually it's a family member that brings me into the family as a private doula, not as a hospice nurse. As a hospice nurse, I enter the family because they've come through the hospice system, and then I'm their RN case manager, and I go out and I take care of things. Or I'm the crisis care nurse, and I happen to get on the scene on a crisis. But as an end-of-life doula, somebody in the family has called me and asked me to come support them through the dying of someone they love. That's usually how that works. Mm-hmm. And so I make sure that that person who's dying is comfortable. I make sure that, number one, and then after that, my focus is on the family and on the person who called me. And I feel death is natural. I have no, usually I don't have much, I'm not going to say I don't have much sadness, but it's like I expect people to die. I know they're going to die. Therefore, I come in to, okay, how can I help facilitate peace here? How can I enable this family to take care of their own? And how can I empower them and also be in the background? So I'm always trying to be a fly on the wall, but mm-hmm. a very strong presence to support them. And so
I was just going to say that's really refreshing because, I mean, especially if you're going through a life illness or, something really traumatic like that, I can imagine how many people are wanting to control your life and everything you do. I mean, when we get a cold and we just post, I'm not feeling well on Facebook, it's like we get just bombarded by people telling us what to do and what to take and where to go and who to see and what to, you know what I mean?
Yes.
So it's refreshing to know that when you're at that stage of, of your process, that there mm-hmm. are people there like you, willing and ready to just let you do and be and have, what it is that you want to do, be and have.
Yes.
And that's very refreshing. So glad you're with us. Glad you're here and that you're going to be sharing, the journey. We got to take a short commercial break, but I want to remind everybody that the journey is happening here on Intention Radio every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific. That's 8 o'clock for our brothers and sisters on the East Coast. And we'll be right back for more here on Intention Radio.
Aloha, and thank you ever so much for tuning in to Intention Radio. David Denninger, one of your hosts that we have here at Intention Radio, and part of the family. And what we mean by family, all of you are that are listening, we are all connected. And what I mean by that, scientific studies show what spirituality already has known. Our hearts put out a vibration, if I can get right to the point. It's an electrical shock, so to speak. It reaches everywhere on the universe. And I know this is an open statement, but it does. Science has shown this. Thank you ever so much for sharing your vibration with us today on our show on Intention Radio.
Join me, Carly Alyssa Thorne, every Thursday, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Conscious Co-Creations here at IntentionRadio.com.
IntentionRadio.com.
Every Saturday, the world comes together to connect like never before. Thousands of powerful meditations reunite with a focus intention to create a shared experience that will impact the world around you. It's 15 minutes, and you can join no matter where you are. Visit www.intentioncall.com. That's www.intentioncall.com.
Join me, Soraya Deen, as we explore conversations at the peace table every Tuesday on intentionradio.com.
That's right. Every single day, you can tune into Intention Radio with a plethora of amazing hosts providing you content once again to uplift your soul to new heights. And I'm here sharing space with a new host of ours here on Intention Radio for a journey called The Journey, really, is what it is, every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. And Deanna's with us. We've got a little bit of her story before the first part of the show. And now what I want to do is I really want to dive into the intention of the show and really the lineup. What are people in store for? So why don't we go ahead and begin with the intention. What's the intention behind the journey that you'll lead us on here on Intention Radio?
My intention for this is to empower people to make the best choices for them to have peace and comfort on the journey as they face their illness, whether they're going to recover or whether they're going to die. And I know most people want to live, they want to recover. However, that's not guaranteed, of course. One day we all will die. So on this journey, as you face the struggle, you and your family, I just want you to have the best chance to have the peace as you go through it. And if the person who is ill is physically comfortable, if that is number one priority, as this is all going on with palliative care, my mainstay first focal point is palliative medicine, the specialty. If it's going on and that person is comfortable, then they can take care of the main business of their life, the spiritual wholeness and completion that needs to happen around illness, all the transformation that will happen with illness, whether you recover or not, the healing that'll happen whether you recover or not. None of that can go on if a person's suffering physically. Mm-hmm. So that's my main thing. And then there's so many, so if people are aware of that, and there's many ways to talk about that. There's lots of people to talk to who are implementing these programs in hospitals and hopefully some home healths, and I'll be able to find some home healths that are doing it. I just want to help continue to make this movement explode. It's already been doing it, but still, even though this movement has been explosive, so many people don't even know what it is and don't even know they can have it prior to hospice. Mm-hmm. So that's one, that's a big thing. And then along, so now that the person's comfortable, so now we have all these other issues to address around transformation, whether you're going to recover or not, and the soul and our spirits and our emotions, minds, everything, from family members to the person. I mostly talk about it from the perspective of the family members and the circle of loved ones, because sometimes, a lot of times, the person who's sick is doing a lot better with it all than the people around them. The people around them are sometimes taking it a whole lot worse and having a whole lot harder time to cope than the person who's sick. Sometimes the person who's sick has a lot more grace about it, a peace within themselves, even though they're scared. So anyway, that's my intention, is to empower.
And, you know, I think having the conversation just more and more in an open type fashion is also very important, because, like I said, this is something that many people avoid, you know, but either by thinking, oh, I'm, you know, this is not going to happen to me for many, many years. I'm still young, all this stuff. Uh-huh. So we either, you know, postpone the discussion or even the exploration of what it means to die. Which really defines what it means to live when you, yes, think about it, right? It's like,
yes.
And I remember one of my partners. We used to go to bed sometimes, and you know, we'd have a fight before or whatever. Uh-huh. And he always said something amazing. If I would go to bed angry or just turn around and I want to talk to him, it was always the same thing. It's, you know, we're not going to go to bed until we're feeling good, because you never know if, you know, we're going to wake up tomorrow. And that really made me think of you know, how I'm living today, not knowing what's going to happen tomorrow. It's a very powerful thing. So the more we're aware of, you know, this whole death thing, because it's a whole thing, the more we can consciously live our lives in a way that is truly in alignment with what we're here to do.
And people will wake up to this as they do. And usually people wake up to it because either they come down with something very serious that startles and shakes their whole world and makes them face their death. The idea of their death, whether they die or not, it shakes them up to that core level. Or somebody is friends or loves somebody who is sick on that level. So it makes them think about it and shakes them up, and the their values and everything about their life, it gets reevaluated. So many people are having to look at this from different angles and on different levels. So it's just, you're right. Up until like probably the last few years, people haven't really been wanting to talk about it. But when you look at the explosion of the death cafes and the different venues, death over dinner, it's a wonderful thing too. And just the different people doing various things, encouraging their communities to talk, it's pretty awesome what's going on. There's some healing happening.
It really is. Yeah, there really is. And I'm excited about that because, like I said, this is indeed a conversation that we just need to have. And this is not something that, you know, we need to wait till it's, you know, it's on the table in such a dramatic way.
Right.
Your life is at stake or someone else that you dearly love has some kind of an illness that makes you think about death for the first time. It's
right.
You know, it's inevitable. It's something that's going to happen to every single one of us. So why not talk about it? Why not, you know, be around it and be comfortable with it? And the reason I'm excited about having you is because on the station talking about this is because it's evidently something you've become comfortable with. Or you were probably really comfortable with it in the first place since you just felt the calling from day one. It was, you know, so I'm just really excited to have that energy on Intention Radio, have you here to share this thing that all of us are going to have to go through one day. And, you know, to be to have that brought up to the forefront is really significant. So we got a couple more minutes. I want to talk about, you know, some of the shows that you'll be hosting, some of the, you know, the things you'll be discussing. If we can get specific, that's awesome. But if there's some topics that you're going to be sharing, you know, in the next few shows, be great to know. What's the lineup here?
Well, I'll tell you, the person I want to start the whole thing off with is one of my heroes is Dr. Ira Byock, and he's a leader. He's a leader in palliative medicine in this country. He's written several books, and he's just, everybody loves him. He's awesome. And he is going to start us all off in talking about palliative care prior to hospice and just concepts and ways to help and advocate for the person you love. So I want to start off with him, and he's very, very interesting person. I'm going to have Larry Dossey. He's another physician. He's writing books. He really blew open the whole spirituality and healthcare years ago. He's had New York Times bestseller books, and he's another just intriguing, fascinating person to talk to about just spirituality and healthcare and medicine and all that. And I'm going to have local heroes. I'm going to be looking around for people, just everyday people like me and you, around doing remarkable things around illness, dying, healing, recovery. I want to have people from, I'm going to have a woman named Gina Kakavala, I think is how you say her name. She's an Ayurveda naturopath and does all kinds of phenomenal healing things. I believe that palliative medicine is the answer in the way that it is in medicine, and that's our Western best. And also, I feel that functional medicine coming in, Ayurveda, you got holistic things and adjunctive modalities around all this. They all have a piece, and they all have an answer, and they all will contribute to healing on the spiritual level, whether the body dies or not. So I want to bring these kind of people in. I'm going to be bringing the experts that I want to hear what they have to say in relation to somebody dying. Not necessarily we're going to just overcome this thing, we're going to fight it to the end, we're going to not that mentality. I mean, we have that everywhere, so people can plug into that anywhere they look. I want to plug into, I have this illness, yes, I'm thinking positive, yes, I've done my spiritual work, yes, I'm still dying, okay, now what? So I want to, there's a lot of shame in dying for many people. I see it in the faces of people all the time. They have reasons why they think mom's dying or dad's dying or they're dying. There's people shaming sometimes with, you haven't done this spiritual work or that spiritual work or this lifetime you did this or you did, you know, and there's some very heavy chains around natural death and natural dying. And I would love to be part of bringing light into all that and hope. So,
Well, so many reasons to be excited to have you here on the platform, sharing your wisdom and bringing, you know, other minds to talk about something that I believe is so significant and truly very, very, very important to living a fulfilled life. Really.
Yes.
So I want to thank you again for sharing the space. I want to thank you for, following through on the inspiration to inquire about joining with a family, and then
you know,
grabbing a spot here on the station. I'm very, very excited for the content of this show and just the journey that you'll take us on the journey. What a perfect title for your show.
Oh, I struggled. I didn't know what to call this.
And all worked out because this is awesome.
Did. Mm-hmm. Yes, it feels good. Thank you.
Beautiful. So I just want to remind everyone again that you'll want to tune in every single Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific. That's 7 o'clock Central, which is where Deanna happens to be, 8 o'clock Eastern. And obviously, if you missed the show, all the shows are archived at www.intentionradio.com/journey. Again, that's intentionradio.com/journey. There you'll be able to find every single show that Deanna recorded of the journey. You'll be able to go back in the archive, download them, have them handy if you want to be uplifted in a way, or, you know, if you want to just sit back, relax, and enjoy the wisdom that she holds and that she's going to bring on board with all her beautiful guests. Deanna, again, thank you so much for being here and breaking the ice, and I look forward to so much more here on Intention Radio with you.
Thank you, Manny. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. People of the world, I send you much love and a big aloha from the island of Hawaii. Bye for now.